As I was going back on the book of Hebrews, I've just been so blessed in chapter 11. It's such a long chapter. But there's so many things for us there. If you have your Bible, turn there to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. It is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Because here we find in this great chapter 11 examples of God's grace in men and women of faith. Men and women of faith, not just men, but also women of faith. And as we started chapter 11, we, first of all, in chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, we saw that faith was described by the writer. In verse 1, he said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen." And then in verse 2, he told us, "For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of things that are visible." God spoke things into being. Can you imagine what it must have been like as God creating the heavens and the earth in full control of it, setting up the tides, you know, for the oceans, the mountain barriers, and then creating men in the Garden of Eden and all the animals in the kingdom. And then, you know, Satan and all of his angels, him, Lucifer, son of the morning star, rebelling against God and being cast out of heaven and falling to the earth. And becoming a problem in the Garden of Eden as he disguises himself as a serpent and deceives our first parents, Adam and Eve, to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's crazy when you read the Bible. You find out where you came from, what happened at the beginning. And then you come over to the stories in the book of Genesis, like here in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. He quotes back now in chapter 11, verse 4, into verse 40. What he does here is he demonstrates the faith that the writer gives to us through the word of God. He starts out with Abel in the book of Genesis. Who was Abel? He was killed by his brother, Cain, the first murder in the Bible. Imagine that, first murder in the Bible. Because Abel, his sacrifice to God, and his sacrifice was made by faith, and God accepted it, but Cain's was not accepted. It was by his own works. And so through jealousy, he rose up and he killed his brother, the first murder. And then he brings in Enoch. And of course, Enoch is such an important person in the Bible. There's only three verses written about him in the book of Genesis, you know, when you read back in chapter 5. If you start in chapter 5, verse 1, until you get to chapter 5, 21, everybody dies in the chapter. But when you get to Enoch's name, he says, "But he walked with God, and he was not, because God took him." Reason? Because he pleased God, and God took him home. He never died. He was raptured. And another person that was raptured in the Bible, there are only two people that never died in the Bible, Elijah and Enoch. They're the only ones that never died. We believe they could be the two witnesses coming back at the second coming of Christ. But I love the way Paul, in writing about Enoch, says, "By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you pleasing to God? Are you really pleasing God in your life? Or is God displeased with you? Something that we really need to meditate on. Because if we're not really pleasing to God, then God's blessings are not upon our lives. It's really important that when we really truly have faith in God, it's because we really believe God's word. We believe that God is a holy God and that God punishes sin. We believe that. Nobody gets away with sin. Nobody. I don't care who you are. Sooner or later, you're going to get caught. And if you think you can't get caught in this world, remember there's a day of judgment coming where God will judge every person that has never come to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They're going to stand at the white throne judgment of God, and their sins are going to be read from the book where they were written, from the day they were born to the day they died. And the only way in Revelations 20, 11 through 15 to erase all of those sins, it's when you come by faith and you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He becomes your Lord. He becomes your God. real important. And because Enoch was a man of faith, he goes on to say, but without faith, what? It is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, notice, are seeking after him. No one will ever find God if they're not seekers. No one will find God. People say, well, if God wants me to know him, he has to come to me. Oh no, he already came. He already came. He died on the cross for your sins and my sins. God has already done his part. What is man's part? Man's part is to believe by faith in Jesus Christ, to repent of your sins, to receive him by faith as your Lord and Savior, to come to that place where you are nothing any longer. You empty yourself before God. You believe the promises of God. You believe God's word. You allow the Holy Spirit to come upon your life and to begin to rule your life. And you repent of everything that you have ever done. And what does he do? He responds by giving you a new life. Eternal life. Life that is quality life. Remember, we're only here temporary. We're just here for a little while. We're getting ready for heaven. Why? This is not our home. And yet a lot of people think this is their home. This is not your home. Don't get so settled down here. I was thinking today how, you know, people work all their lives for retirement. And they work and they invest and they buy and they save and they do all these things. And then they get to an age where they can't really any longer enjoy their finances or anything else because they get sick. And then they die. And they leave their garages full of toys. And their house full of things. And their bank accounts are there, man. And their investments are there. And they never, ever get to take it with them. But somebody else spends it for them. Think about that. When they could have used it for the kingdom of God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But people don't think eternally. They think temporally. Temporal things today. If every person would think about their future, and the way you spend your money, and the way that you do things with your money, and the way you're looking at the future. I was at the gym this morning. I was two young guys there. They're in college. One's at USC, and another guy is going to another college. And the kid that's going to USC, he's 21 years old. He used to come here when he was a little kid. And he recognized me at the gym. I was talking to him. And I asked both of them. I wanted to ask the question. I said, okay, you guys, why are you going to college? And you know what they said? To make money. Did you know that was when Greg Laurie was at the Harvest Crusade? He read off and he said that today, the young people of the world today, they only have one goal, to make money and become rich. That's a poor mentality to have. Because what about if you don't become rich? What about if you don't make it? Especially if you align yourself with the purposes of God and you really, really give your life to God, then what does God have for your life? Something better than money. Eternal life. He wants to use your life. He wants to use your resources. He wants to use you. And the reason I'm saying this is because there are so many people, you know, let's say that you have $1 million and you give $100,000 to the Lord. You say, I'm giving them 10%. Oh, that's great, but that's not really giving. Did you know that? That's not really giving. If you're giving to God what you have because you can afford it, that's not really giving. You know what kind of giving God looks to? When it costs you something. When it costs you something. When you give sacrificially to the Lord, that's what counts. That's what he keeps record on. Read your Bibles. It's really important that we give of ourselves financially and in every way in our hearts sacrificially to the work of the Lord. Even our time that we put in for the Lord. Not because I got the time, but I want to give the time. When I don't have it, I'll give it to him to serve him. That's what's so cool when I read this again, you know, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently are seeking him. Are you really seeking God? Are you a real seeker of God? Are you really willing to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do for you? Don't say it unless you mean it, because God will challenge you. Don't say it unless you really mean it. Enoch pleased God, and he was taken to heaven. He's going to be coming back one day. And then think of the next person, Noah. Where Noah now is asked by God to get his wife and his three sons and their wives and to build a ship where it never rained and there are no lakes. By faith. Because it starts out and it says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. You see? And what did Noah do? He went out and he got himself the wood. He got himself the nails, the hammers. And they began to actually cut the wood and put the wood together. 120 years, he, his wife, and three sons, and their wives, and they built the ship. Two stories. One door, one window. And the size of the ship that they built, you could literally put inside of the ship 522 railroad carts inside of it. Huge. And God said it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And I'm going to tell you when it's going to start. And one day God came to him when he finished it after 120 years. That's a long time. And the people were mocking and making fun of him. And the population of the world was as many people as we have today. And one day God said, okay, Noah, it's time to go in. I'm going to bring in male, female, clean, unclean. I'm going to bring him in myself. You don't have to go get him. I'll bring him in. And he brought him into the ship. And then Mr. Noah, Mrs. Noah, and their sons and daughter-in-laws, they went in. And the Bible says Noah didn't lock the door. It says, and the Lord shut him in. God closed the door. Shut him in. Which means what? Nobody else could be saved. The door of salvation was close. It's a done deal. Did you know that's what's going to happen very soon? For 1900 years, God has been what? Speaking out and giving salvation to people by faith. But the Antichrist is coming. The rapture is coming. Once the rapture, the church takes place. Think about that. The real church will be taken out of the world into heaven. And the last 7 years of world history will be a time where, like the times of Noah, you're going to have to really, really depend, because the Holy Spirit will not be active like he is today here. He'll be in the world, but not like today. It'll be like the Old Testament times. Imagine that. And that's why it says, when you read the book of Revelation, there's going to be many people that will be beheaded. Because they will not take the mark of the beast, because their grandma or grandpa or mom or dad, brother or sister told them about Jesus and what was going to happen. So they knew this was a time. So they died for their faith. But there are going to be millions. They will say to the Antichrist, put your mark right here and put it right here. I'll take it. And they'll be damned forever. You see? Faith in what Jesus Christ is in his word. And then the Bible says what? It began to rain. Never rained in the earth. Began to rain for the first time. And the actual earth opened its bases where the actual cisterns were. And the water began to come out of the ground. And it flooded the whole world. You know how high it flooded? Mount Ararat is 17,000 feet above. Imagine this. And it was covered with water. That's where the ark landed. In Turkey. Imagine that. And yet nobody believed. And yet there was a universal flood. Because God said it in his word. And even scientists today, archaeologists, when they find wood on top of the mountains, how do they get up there? Seashells. It's a flood. You see? That's why you can't trust your colleges when they're teaching you about evolution. Creation is real. It's a real thing. God speaks about it in his word. And then after Noah was blessed, and the whole world drowned except for 8 people. 8 is the number of new beginnings. God began on the 7th day, a new week. He began a new world. And they repopulated the earth. All the way up to today. There's never been a flood again. God said there would never be. He said the next time the world comes to an end is by fire. 2 Peter, you can read it. Chapter 2 tells you that. It will be by fire. So it's really important that as we're reading about these things of faith, that we ourselves would have faith in God. Now here's the next one, and we pick it up tonight here in chapter 11, verse 8 to 22. And it's by this guy by the name of Abraham. I love Abraham. You know why I love Abraham? I can really relate to Abraham because he's just like me and like you. He was a heathen. He was a heathen. He didn't grow up in a Christian home. Guess what? His father worshipped the moon. They were idolaters. And yet God came to this idolater and called him by the name of Abram. And then changed his name to Abraham, father of a multitude in the Hebrew. And he became with his wife the ones that would bring through the line of Jesus. Remember that? The line of Jesus we follow through Noah, through Abraham. And it's so cool because check it out. Go to the book of Genesis chapter 12. This is where we get the story really amazing. It starts here where Abraham becomes blessed by the Lord in Genesis chapter 12. He says, and now the Lord had said to Abram, get yourself out of your country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse him that curses you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is where the Jewish nation begins too. To the Jews, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. God said it to Abraham. He became the father of the Jews. And also, listen carefully, the father of the Arabs, their brothers. That's why they fight so much. They hate each other. Interesting. But here it is at the beginning. And then he goes on and he says, verse 4, and so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and their all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the Terebinth tree in Moreh. And the Canaanites were there in the land. And then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to a mountain east of Bethel, which means the house of God. And there he pitched his tent. Notice, in Bethel. And then unto the west, and Ai to the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. That's the first time you see the building of an altar. That's the first time God appears to Abraham. There. So here is the beginning of a nation. A Jewish nation. Isaac has not been born yet. He's going to be 99 years old before he's born. And Sarah will be 90 years old. And the story goes like this, that God makes a promise to him that he's going to have a son. He's 99 years old now. And Sarah is 90. And she's in the kitchen. And the angel comes and tells Abraham, you know, when they came to see him into the tent, these three men, one was the Lord Jesus Christ, and said, by this time next year, your wife's going to be pregnant. You're going to have a kid. And Sarah started laughing in the kitchen. And the angel said, why are you laughing? You know? And Abraham was laughing too because, hey, can you imagine? I'm a grandma. I'm 90 years old. And Abraham's 100 years old. And you said, we're going to have a baby? Yep, you're going to have a baby next year. And as the command was given, the promise was given to him during that year. During that year. Before that he would be born, what did they do? Sarah, because she could not have any children, what do? They try to help God out. So what do? Sarah said, since I can't get pregnant, why don't you take my maiden and have relationships with her and have her have my child? And who was born there before Isaac? Ishmael. Ishmael, the Arab nations. And then Ishmael, notice, then Isaac was born later on. And yet God said, Isaac will be the line that I choose. The Jews. They will be my people. So that's why this is really important here. Look what it says in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. I love that. What does he mean? He went by faith. Think of how many people are asking God, God, I want to go, but show me the way. Give me signs. Put markers on the way. No, it doesn't work like that. God said to him, go and I'm going to lead you. I'm going to speak to you. But I want you to take that step of faith to go. That you really want to go. And what did Abraham do? He did it. He went ahead and stepped out, like he says, look again. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. That's real faith, believing in what? In the promises of God. Do you believe in the promises of God? What has God called you to do? I can remember when I got saved, I wasn't a Christian. And I got saved, and about 2 weeks after I was saved, I didn't know anything about dreams or visions. I've never had any dreams or vision, only one time. Because what happened to me was I was half awake and half asleep, and I had a vision and dream. In that vision and dream, I had never read the Bible. The Lord, in that vision, showed me I was standing at Baldwin Park High School, my old high school. And I was talking to a bunch of kids. That's all he showed me. I just been saved 2 weeks. And then when I had that, I just kind of forgot about it, you know. I thought it was, you know, too many tacos or enchiladas, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Too much sushi. And then I forgot about it. But then as I began to read my Bible and began to pray, all of a sudden that vision and dream started really becoming part of my heart. And I told my wife, I think the Lord's calling me to go back to Baldwin Park High School. You know, this after coming back from Vietnam, and I mean, I've been at school for a long time. And they knew me at the Baldwin Park High School, so I said, I don't know if they'll, you know, believe it or not, but I went by faith. And when I went to Baldwin Park High School, Mr. Barnhol and Hollenbeck, they were the principal, vice principal. And when I walked into the office, they saw me, they called me in the office, and while they were talking to me, they called the police. And the Baldwin Park police came. And they came and they told me, can you follow us? I said, sure. I said, where are we going? He says, you're going out of the school and you're going home. Or we're going to have to arrest you. I said, I just want to talk to these guys. That's all I want to do. Nope, you're out of here. So I left. Very depressed, very bummed out. Because I'm a new Christian. I'm thinking, I'm imagining all these things, right? I was at home a couple weeks later and the Lord told me, go back to Baldwin Park High School. He didn't talk to me in a voice like that. I would have died. Okay. I just had that feeling, you know, reading the Bible. Go back. Okay, I'm going to go back. I went back to Baldwin Park High School, and guess what? God got before me. Mr. Barnhol Hollenbeck brought me in the office. They talked to me. I shared my testimony with them, what happened to me. And they allowed me to be in public school during lunchtime to talk to kids. It was during the hippie days. So I went in, and now you have to see, I mean, there's a lot of kids going on, you know. So I'm sitting there at one of the picnic benches trying to feel my way through high school. I'm already 24 years old. You know, and these are young kids, and all of a sudden, man, here comes this milk cake. I'm going to kill these kids, man. I was so mad. And the Lord says, don't worry about it. Just keep talking to them. So I kept talking to them. Then you got this guy coming over with a knife and kind of trying to scare me. And I said, you better put that away, you know. And it's just amazing how God, but you know what? I stuck it out for 6 months. And one day, God told me. And again, he didn't speak to me in a loud voice. But I had this feeling to get up on top of this bench during the lunch hour and begin to share my faith with them. And I just began to preach from John 3:16 about God's love and God's grace and mercy. Real gentle, not screaming. I'm a screamer, yeller. And all of a sudden, kids started turning around and they started coming forward and they sit down on the grass. And I began to give them my story. I used to go to Baldwin Park High School and this is what happened to me. And I went to Vietnam and this is them, you know. And as I began to share in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then I said, does anybody here would like to receive Jesus Christ in a public school? Give an invitation. And 500 kids got up and came forward. And you know what? I was blown away. Because who are we to be used by God? I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to teach. I had my own business already. I was in the martial arts. And all of a sudden I thought, you know what? I'm not going to be a preacher. I'm going to keep teaching my kung fu. I'm telling God, I'm not going to do this full time, God. I'm telling you right now. I'm not going to do it. I love what I'm doing. My mission was to start schools all over the world. But man, God has so many other plans. And then I began to see what God had. Not only Baldwin Park High School, Bassett High School, Northview High School, Glendora High School. Every major high school in the San Gabriel Valley, I hit every high school. At lunchtime, I would go different days. And many, many people that have come through Calvary Chapel and our other Calvary Chapels today are from those schools and they have their wives and children today. The Lord touched them. Whoever thought, whoever thinks that God can use your life in such a powerful way. Because who are we? We are nothing. And yet people think there's something. We're just donkeys. But God wants to use us like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You just got to be open and willing to be used by God so that God can use your life, your testimony that you have. And that's why it's important to know God's word and to pray and to seek the Lord so that God can use your life to bring glory and honor, not to yourself. You're not building your kingdom. You're building His kingdom. That's why we're here, to build His kingdom for the next generation and the next generation to come. Why? Because we don't want them to go to hell. That's why I love young people. I love kids. They're the next generation to reach them. No matter how old I get, I still have a desire to preach the gospel to children and to young teenagers and young adults. That's my heart in college kids. It's really important that we get that kind of a feeling and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ right where you live, right where you work, wherever you shop, whatever you do. To have the heart, like God called Abraham, if God calls you to leave your home and to go somewhere else, don't ever be afraid. God will be with you. God will be with you. I never thought God would bring me back to this. I used to live by the beach. When I got out of the Marine Corps, we lived in Anaheim. We were going to stay in San Clemente and live at the beach. Dale was living at the beach too. And the Lord brought us all back here, man, to the San Gabriel Valley, not knowing that we would all get saved and that God would use our lives here. And here we've been all of our lives. You don't know what God has for you until you submit your life to Him and you tell Him, Lord, here I am. How do you want to use my life? Whatever you want to do, I will do it, Lord. By faith, Abraham. He says, obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know where I was going. I just obeyed God. That's all I did. And that's all I do every day. I don't know what I'm doing. But I know what He's doing. Because He's God. You see. And I think that if we have that kind of an attitude, that kind of a heart for God, God can use us. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, oh, well, you know, I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy. Or maybe you've tripped, you know, maybe you fell. Maybe you haven't done too well, you know. It doesn't matter. God desires that you give Him everything in your life, fully, completely. He doesn't want you to be perfect. He will deal with you. He will mold you. He will shape you. He will anoint you. He will open the doors. He will close the doors. He will do whatever He wants as you allow Him to lead and guide your life. Wherever He wants to take you, He will do it. Because that's what the Word of God says. Faith. And then check this out. This is so beautiful. In verse 9, by faith, he said, he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign country. Imagine that. He didn't even know where he was going. He was a heathen. God separated him from his mother and father, and God actually came to him and made him a believer. He became a believer. But he didn't even know where he was heading. He just went by faith. Lord, I will go wherever you send me, and I will do whatever you want me to do. I'm going to go by faith. And it's so cool, because as he's saying this, look what it says again. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign in a country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. His sons. Notice that. Jacob. Isaac. I mean, remember Isaac. Isaac was the one of promise. God said he will be the Jewish nation. Esau will be the Arab nations. Their mother was pregnant. Remember in the womb, it's like two nations were wrestling together. And they were fighting in the womb already. And she said, man, I'm having a bad labor. I don't know. It sounds like two nations are in your womb. You know, they were fighting with each other. Isaac and Jacob. And they named them the Arabs and the Jews. And then again, remember Jacob. Jacob was what? He was a mama's boy. He was always in the kitchen, remember? His brother Esau was a rugged guy outside farmer. And what did he do? He deceived his father. He walked in. His mother, Rebecca, said, hey, go into your father and get the blessing of him. He's going to die. He says, but dress up like your brother. Your brother's a rugged man. So go get some sheepskin, put it on your arms like real hairy. You know, and when you go in, cook him his favorite meal. And when he walks in, he's going to say, who is it? Is this my son, Esau? And you're going to say, yes, this is Esau, my dad. He says, come near me so I can smell you and touch you. Because Esau was a smelly man. He was out with the goats and the lambs, and he could smell like a farmer. But not Jacob. Jacob smelled like perfume, you know. He was in the kitchen all the time. And he went in there and faked it out, and his father thought it was Esau. And he says, bless me, father, and he blessed them, and then he left, and his brother came in later on and said, father, I got the blessing. What blessing? I already gave you the blessing. Oh, no, no, this is Esau, your son. And when his mother found out, he says, uh-oh, there's going to be war here. You know what? You got to leave town because your brother will kill you. So your dead eyes, he'll kill you. So go to my brother's house and stay with Laban, my brother, for a while, and then you can come back. He stayed there 20 years. 20 years. Imagine that. 20 years. And when he was there, remember what happened? They did a switcheroni on him. They gave him the one that was not good looking. And when he went into the tent, you know, for their wedding night, he woke up in the morning and found out, hey, you're not her. You know, went outside to Laban and said, hey, you gave me the wrong daughter. What's the matter with that? I worked for 7 years and you faked me out and you lied to me. Well, he says, work for me 7 more years and I'll give her to you too. Imagine 14 years. And by the time he gets done, it's 20 years. And then God's bringing him back to his land as Jacob. And remember that as he's coming back, what does he see? He sees Esau coming with 400 men. And he thinks, uh-oh. I remember what I did to Esau. He's going to kill me. So what does he do? Jacob, conniver, schemer, liar, sets up the ranks just in case they get, you know, to the first rank. I'll be in the last with my wives, you know, so I can run. So he fixes it all up. And then what happens? He goes over and meets Esau, and the Lord already works it out. And Esau is so happy to see him. And they embrace each other and they make peace. And then God says to Jacob, come over to the other side. So he goes over to the other side of the river, Bethel, the house of God. And there, as he's there, remember what happens? The angel of the Lord is there. And there's a wrestling match going on in chapter 32 of Genesis. And Jacob, man, is wrestling with the angel. It says, would you read that wrestling? But if you read Hosea chapter 12, it tells you the real story. Because as Jacob grabs a hold of the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, grabs a hold of his thigh. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And the Lord says, man, I got to go. Let me go, Jacob. He said, what's your name? Jacob, heel catcher, conniver, thief. He says, he took his right hand. He says, he touched the hollow of his thigh here. He says, from now on, your name will be called Israel, governed by God. And when they saw him coming back, his wives, they said, hey, what's the matter with Jacob? How come he's limping? He said, don't ever call me Jacob again. My name is Israel, governed by God. God broke him. God broke him. Even as we need to be broken by God in our own lives in so many areas so that God can use our lives. And when you look in the Strong Concordance and you look for the name Jacob and Israel, guess what name is used more than anything else? Jacob instead of Israel. Even after he touched the hollow of his thigh. Because that old man keeps coming up all the time and we have to reckon it, we have to kill it. Very important. That's why these names are brought out here. Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him in the same promise. And then verse 10 he says, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I love this. You see, he was not only waiting, he was very patient because he knew, I mean, he was going to the promised land and the promised land was beautiful. Everything was there, but listen, in their own mentality, even wherever you live today, you know, we love the United States of America. We love the area here. It's really beautiful. But he was looking at what? At the city of God, the future. Not now. This is cool, but something better is coming. That's what he's talking about. The foundations of builder and maker is God. God has placed. Remember Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. In John 14, if you believe in me, believe also that I am going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you also will be with me. He told that to the disciples because they were depressed. Because he was going to be crucified. He was going to leave. And they got worried. But he says, hey, you guys, this is for your benefit. I have to die and rise again and go to heaven so you can come. So you can come. And that's what he's talking about here. For he waited for the city which was has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received not a strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past her age, 90 years old, because she judged him, God, faithful, who had promised. I mean, if God promises something, is 90 years old too old? Nope. Whatever God wants to do, he can do. She believed the promises of God. And who was born? Isaac. Because of the promise of God. Verse 12. Therefore, because of this, from one man, and him as good as dead, he's talking about Abraham, 100 years old, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sands in which is the seashore. What did God do to Abraham? He says, Abraham, can you step out of your tent? Now remember, this is before lights. You can see the heavens. He says, can you come out here for a second? He came out. He says, how many stars do you see? Galileo said, 3,000. He was wrong. God said to Abraham, I'm going to multiply your seed as many stars that are in the heavens and as many grains of sand. Imagine that. That's amazing. The promises of God to one man that obeyed God. Coming from a heathen home, they worshiped the moon. And God saved them and God used them. Imagine that. He can use you and use me. Look what else he says. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand in the seashore. These all died in faith. I mean, think about the Old Testament. Every person that you read about in the Old Testament, they never saw Christ. So how did they die? By faith. Remember in the center of the earth, hell, Hades, Sheol, when in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, chapter 16, verse 19, the rich man and Lazarus, what is that there? That's the picture that Jesus gives us, that before he died and rose again, hell was a place for who? Abraham's bosom and the wicked. And there was a gulf separating. That place never, never, never got emptied out until Jesus died and rose again. What happened? He went to Abraham's bosom and then got them all out of there. The thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. He emptied hell, and then this side of hell became one major place. You see? One major place. God emptied hell out from Abraham's bosom. All the Old Testament people and saints that believed the promises of God, they never saw Jesus, but they believed he was coming. And what happened? Their faith saved them. Imagine that. And they were taken out to heaven. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I love that. Peter quotes from there. We are pilgrims and strangers. This is not our home. This is not our home. It's so cool that I'm not going to be here. Heaven is my home. I'm only a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm just passing through this land for 70 or 80 or 90 years, and then the end will come. I love it. What are we looking for? Heaven. Spending time with Jesus, Paul, Peter, James, John, our loved ones and our friends that have received Christ. That's why we have an urgency to get people saved, because if they die without Christ, we'll never see them again. That's the bummer. That the only chance they get is right now in this world while they live. Because once they die, it's over. They go to hell. And from hell, they go to the lake of fire. And they're separated from God in the light forever and ever and ever. And they'll never see their loved ones ever again. But we are like these. Are going to die in faith. Notice that. Verse 14. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they came out of, they would have had an opportunity to return. They could have built their beautiful homes, which they did, and they could have got settled on the land. But that was not the call of God. Notice that. They didn't want to return to the world. Why? Because we know where we're going. That's like Christians today. We serve and we love the Lord because we're pilgrims and strangers. We're only here for a little while. We're going to be leaving for, you know, when the rapture takes place, we're going to be gone. We're going to be gone. People are going to blow their minds when we're gone out of here. And then verse 16, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Underline that. That's not only for them, it's for you and me. That's a promise of God. Assurance in our salvation, assurance in death. This is not our home. When you go to the graveside and you read Ronald Reese lies here, don't believe it. You only got a body full of worms, you know? And if I'm cremated, my ashes will be gone on a surfboard to the ocean. It's crazy. Who cares about the body? You know? What I care about is the spirit. I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to be with Jesus for the rest of my life, forever and ever and ever. That city that God has, the kingdom of God. Verse 17, by faith again, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, who he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Genesis 22. Remember, God came to him and tested Abraham and said, take your son, your only son, and take him to Mount Moriah and kill him for me. God had never asked for a human sacrifice. And what did Abraham do? He never told his wife. He woke up his servants and got Isaac, get the wood, get the knife, and then we're moving out. And they moved out. 3-day journey. They get to Mount Moriah, Jerusalem. There is the Mount of Olives. Mount Moriah is on top of the Temple Mount. And all of a sudden, they're watching out Jerusalem. And what does Abraham say? You guys, we're going to make camp here. But me and the lad, We're going to go up there and we're going to come back. Speaks faith. We're going to come back. What is Abraham doing? Even if God allows me to kill my son, I know that God can resurrect my son. We're going to come back here. And as they went up to that mountain, Mount Moriah, Isaac's carrying the wood. Abraham has a knife, and they get up to the top of the actual Mount Moriah, and Isaac says, "Hey, Dad, Mount Moriah, the altar, but where is the sacrifice? There's no goat. There's no lamb." And what does Abraham say? Genesis 22:8. God will provide himself a lamb. 2,000 years later, in that same place, Mount Moriah, who died? Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world. Your Jesus, my Jesus. He died on the cross for you and me. That's the love that God has for each one of us individually. As Abraham, at 100 years old, Isaac, 33 years old, as he's getting ready to kill him, he submits himself to the father and says, "Go ahead, Dad, tie me up." Lays him on the altar. Abraham takes out the knife. He raises it up, ready to kill his son. And the angel of the Lord comes and says, "Abraham, you're awesome. I saw your faith. You don't have to kill your son anymore. You are obedient. Put away the knife." The moment he put away the knife, if you read, he says, not a coincidence, there was a ram stuck there in the brush. God provided the sacrifice too. Imagine that. God's love for each one of us individually. The promise, offer up his begotten son. Verse 18, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called." The promise of God from Genesis 21:12. Notice that. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him as a figurative sense. And by faith, verse 20, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And by faith, here it is again, Jacob, heel catcher, when he was dying, bless each of the sons of Joseph and worship, leaning on top of his staff. Did you notice what he said there? He called Jacob at the end of his life by Jacob, heel catcher, conniver, instead of what? Remember his name? It wasn't changed. It's used, Jacob is used more than Israel, governed by God. May God touch our hearts tonight as we move through the Bible. That God will use your lives to bring glory and honor to him, but that God will use you with your loved ones and your friends and your enemies to be a light, and that they can experience the love of Jesus Christ in your lives so they can come to know him as Lord and Savior as we truly demonstrate Christianity to them. Why? Because by faith we believe God's promises. That's why we're here tonight. Father, we come before you this evening to thank you. Thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for your mercies, God. And Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would continue to move in us and to work through each one of our lives, God. Father, we want to know you and the power of your resurrection in each one of our lives, Jesus. So Lord, I pray again for those watching through the internet. Father, for those sitting here with us tonight, Lord, what a blessing. And Father, maybe there are some that are visiting with us tonight here. We do not know them. You know them, Lord God, and you love them. If there's anybody here that would love to have God's grace and love and mercy, you would like to be forgiven for all of your sins, if you're willing to submit and surrender and repent of your sins, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, to walk out onto the aisle and walk down here to the front where I am, right here by the staircase, and I want to pray with you. Whoever you are, male, female, young, old, I don't care who you are, if you want to receive God's joy and peace and love and mercy and grace tonight and forgiveness, he'll give it to you. We're going to worship. As we worship, you get up and you come, whoever you are. The most important part of the service is right here, right now. Salvation, the free gift of God. Not of works, as any man should boast. It's free. As you come by faith in Jesus Christ. Father, we are so thankful for these that have come. I pray for each one of them individually, God. And Father, for those watching over the internet, they would like to receive you tonight too, Lord God. They can pray with these people. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer and ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts, okay? Pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I am a sinner. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you guys a Bible, some literature. See that guy right over there? You guys turn around and go right over there. Thank you so much. Right through there. All right. What a blessing. That's neat.